Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
Good morning. Welcome to the Being Found Show. I'm your host, Cloudwise Joe. Got my co-host here, Chauncey Hallworth.
Yep.
Literally an SEO superhero. He doesn't talk much, but I swear to God, he's a superhero.
My superpower is knowing when not to talk.
Actually, that's probably that's a superpower I could use.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself, if your company isn't being found, then whose is? We're going to be your guide to make sure you're being found by more buying customers. And, of course, this is the best hour of radio for business ever in the history of the world, especially the history of radio. So we're glad you're here, and I think this is going to be a really good show. All right. So, Chauncey, we're going to go over a topic that's been super hot this week. Just Facebook.
Yep. That is a super hot, all over the news topic.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are really kind of all over the place with how they feel about it. It's one of those few things that sort of blurs political lines that are normally not blurred because, you know, it deals with privacy and then it also deals with, you know, government controlling business and just all sorts of things that everybody has an opinion on, and it doesn't seem so polarized like so many other things in this country. There's lots of people on both sides of this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm going to try to circle us around to why this matters to the Being Found show and why what's been going on in the news and with Facebook matters to Being Found. But I think in the heart of it is exactly what you're talking about. You know, this is Facebook weaves its way through all of our lives, no matter how political we are, no matter what we're doing. And what's interesting is the concerns about Facebook are also the reasons as marketers and businesses we need to learn to use it, because a lot of the concerns you hear, and we'll go into this more in a minute, but a lot of the concerns you hear are, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, you can influence what people think in the billions. There's 400 million Americans that you can decide what content gets in front of them and what they see and what they read. And guess what? That is true. He can. And Facebook can.
Yeah. On a past show, we talked about this a little bit. And I think we were throwing around the statistics. My numbers are going to be a little bit off. But something like 66% of people get their news from social media. And what people don't realize is that social media is curtailed to you. So It's like if I am a fan of the Second Amendment and I want there to be guns, it's going to pump me with a bunch of information that's pro-Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. If I'm anti-Second Amendment and I don't want there to be guns, it's going to pump me with a bunch of that. And it's sort of backing up our belief systems, and which we all kind of know, but the fact that 66% of people get their news from something that's mainly just backing up what they already believe.
Yeah.
It creates a definitely powerful force in telling people what you want them to know.
Yeah. Again, that's another great description, because that's what we're going to talk about, is how does that curtailing work for a business and what can a business do? So we're actually going to talk about that. It's definitely one of the most powerful channels, if not, you know, statistically, maybe not as powerful as Google, but I don't know. It's up there.
As far as wielding it, I think it's maybe more powerful than Google as far as, like, pointing it and giving it a purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you're probably right. The other thing is, this is a radio show. And what's a radio show without a weathercast, right, about what's going on in the weather?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a weathercast. We're going to start having a weathercast in the first segment. And I hope this weathercast is more accurate than a lot of other weathercasts I hear. But this isn't a normal weathercast. There's a company you'll hear us talking about every now and again called Moz. And Moz, so you can go to moz.com. That is a very powerful tool to help businesses or people who are in the search engine optimization business. That's a tool that helped them get your website found, get your web pages found. It's got all kinds of awesome tools, keyword research, and all kinds of stuff. But one of the things that Moz does is they give a Mozcast. Let me read what a Mozcast is. So Moz has a weather for Wednesday, April 11th. They say it's 90 degrees. So let me read what that means. Mozcast is a weather report showing turbulence in Google algorithm over the previous day. Or you can look at a whole five-day history. So this looks just like a weather report. The hotter and stormier the weather, the more Google's rankings changed. And right now we're looking at a very stormy cloud with lightning and 90 degrees. So the weather out there in Google, stormy and a lot of changes.
So, yeah, does that mean that there's a lot of changes coming from Google or that there's a lot of changes coming from the competition coming in? Or some combination of the two of those?
Well, I guess we'll figure it out every time we talk about it.
I'm thinking it's a combination of the two of those. Because
I think it is too.
You know, a big part of search and stuff like that is basically the changes in the way people use things and what they want and how they find them. You know, and so a lot of people might look at this and think, oh, well, if it's a tumultuous, rainy, thundery day, that means that Google has put out some sort of update. But that's not necessarily true, because the way the algorithm works is that somebody types in a search term and they're looking for some type of specific thing. And if society shifts to the point where they're looking for something a little bit different, we're going to see different search results coming up due to the algorithm, but not due to any sort of change in the algorithm.
Right. Well, let's talk about an example of that. So, you've got these new devices like Alexa, the Google Dot, you've got Siri, you know, you've got all these new voice, devices that, you know, are the voice assistants. And now if you're behind on toilet paper, you tell the Google Assistant to order your toilet paper, right? And so,
I have a running order for that.
Yeah, right. So 2-ply, comfortable.
Yeah.
So here's these new devices that are coming out. So this is new ways people search the internet. This is new content and needs that need to be filled on the internet. So, you know, Google's got to make changes to adapt to those devices. And the more people use those devices, the smarter those devices get, the more Google's got to change. So that's just one reason that either Google's got to adjust its algorithms or, like you said, something else is introduced into the ecosystem which starts causing changes.
Right, because Google's tracking what answers are helping people the most. And if people find a new answer that helps better, that's going to change the weather forecast at the Mozcast.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've got stormy and 90 degrees. And by the way, it looks like it's been stormy and 90 degrees or 80 in that range for a while. So lots going on in search and in Google. And there is a lot going on. You know, we've really just tip of the iceberg. We're coming up to the end of this segment. But before we do, a couple other things in this show. We're going to have a two-minute tip, which will probably take me 15 minutes to explain. And we've also got updates on Project Hometown. A lot going on with Project Hometown, so stay through the break because you can get involved with Project Hometown, whether you're a local business or if you're a tech company that wants to help out, or there's all kinds of ways to get, so we'll talk about that. And so when we come back, Facebook, Project Hometown, what else did I say? 2-minute tip, we got a lot. So you're listening to Being Found Show, and as always, you can check us out at beingfound.com. We have the shows transcribed over there, so you can read it if you can't stand listening to Chauncey and I's voice, which is a possibility, Chauncey, you know, right?
I don't understand what you mean.
Right. So we've got the shows there. We break them down, search for it. You can also listen to the shows there. Go to beingfound.com. We are coming up to a break. We'll be right back.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR. In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Red Bluff Roundup is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, and wild pony riding, and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
I'm going up, down, up, down.
And Sunday is Holly Akala and St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show. If you're not being found, who is? We're your guide to making sure your business is being found by more buying customers. I think mostly Chauncey's your guide. I think I'm more like the guy in the back of the bus, you know? I think you're the tour guide up front. I'm the guy in the back of the bus.
Wait a second. That makes you sound like you're cool, and I'm like the nerd.
Like I said. Okay, so I want to update you on Project Hometown. So those of you who have listened and kind of followed along, Project Hometown's been happening. It is officially launched. It is real. It is happening, and it is very cool. And real quick, the idea of Project Hometown is to help every business in Shasta County, every single one, all 17,000 of them, get either an e-commerce website up and built and launched the way it's supposed to be, the way customers want to buy, or a service website up, launched the way customers want to buy. It's $550 for a service, $750 for an e-commerce site. You go to projecthometown.com, and you can apply. But this is not just an advertising. This is not for me. I'm talking about the Smart Center, the Shasta Economic Development Foundation, tons of the tech companies in Redding and Shasta County, Shasta High School. We've all come together to build a standard best practice concept and guideline for building these websites the way they're supposed to be done. And the local developers have all agreed to do them at a dramatically reduced price if you accept the terms. And on top of that, we're training high school kids to help us out so they learn these skills. This is a big deal. Just imagine what happened to Shasta County if every business tapped into the e-commerce economy. So go to projecthometown.com, check it out, sign up. So we've already got our first company who has applied and been approved. Their website's in process. We have another one who's applied. Got other people hitting us up. We got more tech companies getting involved. A lot going on, so check it out, Project Hometown. Okay, Chauncey, let's jump into the two-minute tip.
Wait, I had something else to throw in about Project Hometown. And that is the other advantage to working with Project Hometown is you're working with a group of people, and this is like social media marketing gold. You know, you're helping kids. You're working with a group of people who are all working together. You know, you're working with schools. You're working with all of these things that people like to share and like to support with a group of people who also like to share and support it.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Chauncey, because I actually want to hit on a topic. You know, there is a underlying concept of Project Hometown, which is related to that. But there's this other thought. Haven't we heard for years, buy local? You know, it's like what the businesses do is they want to put the pressure and the responsibility on the buyer to buy local. You know.
Right.
And instead of what Project Hometown's doing, Project Hometown is putting the responsibility back on the community of businesses and organizations to sell the way customers want to buy. So this really, you know, the idea here is to come together and get this done, but it's also to respect our customers and actually sell they want to buy instead of putting the pressure on them. So customers, you know, if you're working with local businesses and you wish that they were doing this or their products were available, let them know about Project Hometown. You can help. So imagine a year from now, you don't have to be pressured into buying local. You can find local products online, and you can find them online the way you want to get them. We have literally taken every barrier that's possible out of the way, whether it's price, timing, resources, anything. And again, you know, on your social media gold for the businesses, the local business organizations like the EDC, the Chamber, Shasta, Lake City Chamber, Anderson Chamber, I mean, all of them, they're all going to promote the companies that are taking part in this. So as businesses sign up, we're all promoting each other out in the community. So it really is there's no reason not to do it.
Yeah. And technology, you know, is creating a huge disparity between small business and large business and the technological services that they're capable of offering. And this is sort of bridging that gap so that, you know, you can shop in town with the ease and comfort that you have been doing on the internet, you know. And now you can, from your local businesses, the places you love, maybe you can order it and go pick it up. I don't know. There's all sorts of options, but
yeah, and again, you know, you're nailing it there. There is now a space that's between the business and its customer. Whether you're a local business, a manufacturer, whatever it is, a distributor, there's now a space between you and the customer, and that space has been filled up with the internet. Just no two ways about it. And so if you haven't mastered the internet, or if you haven't bridge that gap. If that's not a major part of your priority as a business, then you have agreed to let that gap be between you and your customer. And that customer will use the internet to find someone who did bridge the gap. And that's what this is about, is bridging the gap for you businesses over to the customer. It's not about asking the customer to change their behavior. It's about us businesses meeting our customers where they're at.
It's like allowing your customers to walk down a road of snake oil salesmen to your business when they didn't have to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. Why let the internet distract them all from you?
Right.
So check it out. Project Hometown, for all the reasons Chauncey said. I'm sure I had a good idea there somewhere, but, you know, also all the reasons Chauncey said. Yep. Okay, 2-minute tip, which is cool because we only have 5 minutes to do our 2-minute tip.
All right, get on it.
All right, so here's your tip. Check your citations. Check your citations. Now, let me tell you how you can do that right now so that you don't forget, because you can do this easy. And you can go to cloudpotential.com. Cloudpotential.com, that's our marketing company. You scroll down and you'll see SEO report. It's a big blue box. You can get an SEO report. That is gonna check your citations. Just go ahead and do it right now. It is lead generation. You can just say, you don't want me to call you. We won't call you. We won't market to you. It's a fantastic tool. So just do it while we're talking, okay? So what is a citation and why is it so important for you to check it? You answer that, Chauncey.
Okay. I think a lot of people find the term citation to be confusing, but it's not like you got in trouble, like you got a ticket. But it's more like a bibliography, like you cited another source, like C-I-T-E. And so a citation is like any time that your information, which in old school marketing we used to refer to it as NAPS, name, address, phone number, but now it's name, address, phone number, web link, you know, social media stuff. Anytime those are represented in profiles across the web, like yellowpages.com.
It's like nab, 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 nabs.
Nab, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Well, I changed NAPS, name, address, and phone number to NAPS with a capital S, name, address, phone number, and stuff.
Stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you know, anytime. So, you know, your social media can be considered a citation on some level, and when you appear in Yellow Pages online and stuff like that. And the reason why this is important is the more it shows consistency across the web, the more Google says, hey, these people are not only who they say they are, but their location is important to them, their information is important to them, and by making sure all this stuff is there, we believe they're going to be there for a while. And so it's worth serving up to our visitors.
So a citation, if I'm a business and I go Google myself, which is one of our other 2-minute tips, if I go Google myself, it's likely I'll see, you know, Yelp listings, Yelp reviews, Facebook page, you know, all of those places where it's referring to my business and my business listing and my business information.
Right.
And so you're saying that those places, which are called citations or whatever, listings, the more accurate they are, the more Google recognizes who you are, for one, because it's not confusing. Wait a minute, their address is this here, but then it's this over here. Wait, that's confusing. I don't know who they are. But also they recognize and trust you because you're in all these places, maybe getting reviews even. So Google can say, gosh, not only are they there, but they're getting great reviews. I can trust sending one of my users to them. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. And especially if you're a local business, there's no showing up in the bat packs without consistent citations.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually, one of our clients, someone else is basically cheating using their name. And we had to do citations and images and all kinds of stuff just so that they could have their real name win in the map pack over the person cheating.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so cloudpotential.com. Cloudpotential.com, like I said, you scroll down, you'll see a blue box that says SEO report. I probably could have made it easier and put it top, made it red, but it is what it is. Go ahead and what it's going to do is it's going to ask you for your company name. Well, why do we need that? Well, because we need to look at your address and all your information. And my tool is going to give you a report back of all the places your business is being found for citations and which ones are wrong, which ones are right. So you can go fix them yourself. Now, don't let that this is a lead generation. This is a way for me to find out if people need help. Don't let that stop you. I literally don't care. Won't call you. Won't market you. There's a little place where you get a write. How can I help you? Tell me to go away, jump off a bridge, shut up, stop, whatever you want to tell me. We won't bug you. I want you to do it. It's frankly a tool that Chauncey and I use to look at a website and analyze what needs to be done. It's going to tell you more. It's going to tell you about your content. It's going to tell you a lot of stuff. And so go check it out. You'll know right now if your citations are any good. Okay? So Cloud Potential, check it out. Okay, Chauncey. We are coming into the end of another segment. I promise we're going to talk about Facebook. So in the next segment, we are going to talk about Facebook and how wrong Congress is. Can you believe that? Can you believe Congress is wrong?
Picking a side there, picking a side.
And ironically, I'm not picking a side. There's something else that's been coming up that occurred to me. I can pick a side. Anyway, well, you're listening to the Being Found show. Check us out, beingfound.com, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Wade Riggs with DJ Bobette. We are back for our 6th annual Cool April Nights Cool Cruise 2018.
Live from the Red Lion Hotel in Redding, California, and featuring awesome classic cars and tricked out vehicles.
You'll have the best seats in the house with our multi-camera system featuring our wireless HD street cam to put you in the cruise.
Broadcasting live on Shasta County Community Access Television, SCAC-TV, and on KGEC-TV, Channel 26.
You can also watch the cruise on your computer, tablet, or smart device online here at KCNR1460.com.
However you catch it, you won't want to miss the Cool Cruise. So join us along with special guests on Friday, April 27th.
Webcast kicks off at 4 p.m. with DJ Bobette playing your favorite cruise tunes.
With the cruise starting at 6:30.
Cool Cruise 2018, Friday, April 27th. Sponsored by Palomar Builders, Orchard Nutrition Center, Mary's Pizza Shack, and KCNR 1460.
For more information, visit RiggsMediaConsulting.com.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Shasta College is giving you your first year of college tuition free. If you're a first-time student at Shasta College, even if you've attended college somewhere else or took classes while in high school and you sign up as a full-time student, you could get a year of college tuition free. The Shasta Promise program gives any first-time, full-time student a tuition-free education for a full year. Apply online at shastacollege.edu/apply. Fill out your FAFSA and talk to a counselor today. Don't think you can go full-time with your work or family schedule? Shasta College has more programs just for you. We have compressed programs, evening classes, and completely online degrees to help you get that boost in your career, new job, or transfer earlier with less debt. The Shasta Promise. Just one more way Shasta College is giving you more. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650 for the Shasta Promise program.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Okay, Chauncey, we're back on the air, and we are going to clean up the whole Facebook confusion mess right now in this next segment.
All right. Drop some knowledge.
Okay, so here you go. This is what I call our Did You Know series. So, you know, all the things you've mentioned so far are coming up about Facebook, right? Should they be regulated? You know, what are the privacy concerns? How many apps? Think about this. We're only talking about one app that stole 87 million users, right? Which is approximately almost a quarter of how many users there are in America. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot more apps. And Facebook is only looking into those, right? So how many users really had their data and their contacts and everything stolen? Probably going to be more than that. That's big, right? So it, there's an argument going back and forth of whether Facebook can change the minds of America, because frankly, like you said, it could make so all you ever see is what you're interested in. Or maybe instead of that, it can make so that maybe conservatives aren't heard, or liberals aren't heard, right? And that's a lot of power for one guy who fully controls the media for almost 2 billion people, right? So those are all really big, crazy topics. But what really caught me off guard over the last couple of weeks listening to all this is the people who are running our company, our country, and frankly, most of the people I bump into and talk about this topic with actually have no idea how Facebook works. They actually have no idea how a business can use it. So here's what this is about, people. I'm gonna try to bring us around to why this matters to us as businesses. But Facebook does not sell your data. Facebook does not sell your data. It does not sell your data, and it does not sell your data. That is not their business model. So we've got Congress that thinks they sell your data. We've got businesses who think they sell their data. We've got people who think they sell your data. And here's why this is crazy. Because that means the economic engine of being found in Facebook for businesses, for their consumers to find them, that means that generally most of the really bright people that we're hearing talk about this in the news or that we bump into really have no idea how to use this incredibly gigantic tool that can put your information, your company in front of almost exactly the type of customer you want. You know, it's, to me, it would be like, Chauncey, I think it's a little bit like if everyone kept walking by a lake and complaining that, you know, you can drown in that lake. And at the same time, they're carrying little buckets another 5 miles to a place where you can turn on a water spigot and get some water. And sometimes people even die trying to get to that water spigot because they didn't know that lake actually was water, right? They were too afraid of it, or they thought it was for fishing. They didn't realize that was water. I just listened to all of the brightest people in America and the people who run our country, and they were talking about Facebook like it was something else instead of what it is, and that is a fantastic way for you to get your products, your content, your stuff right in front of users. That is how Facebook makes its money. It is not about selling data.
I think there's something sociological to throw in here, too, and that is that all these people think that Facebook sells your data, but I guarantee you most of these people have Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are they all up in arms about? They obviously thought their data was being sold this whole time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, and so what I want to do now is talk about what it is I'm saying. So, wait a minute. How does Facebook make money? It must make money selling your data, because that's what I'm saying. Right. It does not. It makes money through advertising. And a lot like Google, you can go onto Facebook, like you could go onto Google and you can pick things that you can build an ad and you can say, send it out. And I want people in this place to see it here and at this time of day, etc. But remember that Facebook actually is paying attention to what you like, what you don't like. You know, it's paying attention to other things that, you're interested in. So like you mentioned earlier, Chauncey, it's a very powerful way. So what I want to do is just kind of break down how does Facebook get used to segment audiences so you can send ads out? In other words, I'm probably doing a terrible job of making sense of this. Facebook does not sell your data. What they do is they allow marketers and businesses to create an ad or content and then segment who they want that content to go to. So, for instance, let me go over some of these segments. So, for instance, location. we can go onto Facebook and we can pick what location. So we can say, you know what, I'm selling bus tickets, and you know my bus only goes in this route, so I only want people to know I've got bus tickets if they live within so much distance of the route. Well, you can geographically pick that. Well, maybe when you're selling your bus tickets, a certain age group is who might buy that bus ticket. And so now you in Facebook, you can pick the age group. I hate to say it. I know we're all equal, but by the way, you can pick men or women, or all. You can now segment that way. Perhaps men are more likely to buy, you know, a giant shotgun, and women are more likely to buy a rifle, a precise rifle, because probably they're smarter than us, but otherwise. So you can pick which gender. You can pick the languages people speak. So now we can discern what language. But I want to go a little further. You can actually pick their interest, their education, the generation they're in. How helpful might that be, Chauncey, if you've got an ad? So imagine that. So I'm making an ad, and maybe I know that my product has value to two different generations. Maybe one generation offers a value because of their lifestyle and the things that they like to do, but it also has a value for another one. Do I make one ad that tries to say both, or do I make an ad with each different value and make so that ad is only seen in front of that generation, right? Relationship, politics, business industry, you into fitness and wellness, what kind of food and drink, hobbies, activities, shopping and fashion. If I'm a local store and, you know, we sell purses and boots and fun stuff like that, did you know that you can go onto Facebook and you can target people on Facebook who like those things, who follow those things, who talk about those things.
Let me throw out some real-world applications here. Let's say, as people maybe have figured out, I work with a lot of carpet cleaners, and let's say I do eco-carpet cleaning.
Okay.
And so eco-carpet cleaning is a more expensive service, so I'm going to target people who make more money. Between men and women, it's much more apt that women, as the head of household, are going to click the ad. So maybe I pick women. And let's say people with newborn children and pets are more apt to be interested in eco-carpet cleaning because of the dangers that it could possibly pose to their kids or their pets. And so there's a real-world segment that we might create. But also as a carpet cleaner, let's say my hours are full and I'm trading dollars, hours for dollars, as you like to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the only way for me to make more money is to get clientele that spends more money.
Mm-hmm.
So now I start targeting higher tax brackets,
mm-hmm,
within my area and within specific more affluent areas around, mm-hmm, my area, so that I can expand and start trading my hours for more dollars.
Yeah, right, exactly. So Facebook does not sell your data. You guys can go ahead and put that to bed. What it does is it allows you to target specifically the kind of audience you want, because Facebook is frankly watching all of our behaviors. And like Chauncey said, if you start to think about specifically what type of person, what income levels, and where you want to go, who's your best customer, you can probably find them on Facebook, get the ads in front of them. So my big point here was the vast majority of people were misunderstanding what a fantastic tool Facebook was, and that was a big takeaway I took from everything I saw in Congress. Okay, so we're coming to the end of this segment. You are listening to the Being Found Show. Go to beingfound.com, check it out. Also, don't forget to go to cloudpotential.com and go to the SEO report so that you can check your citations. And don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
The Missing in America Project's fundraising banquet this May 26th at the Veterans Hall, downtown Reading. An opportunity to raise money for a great organization that locates, identifies, and interns missing, forgotten veterans. So please come and join us for a prime rib dinner, raffle and auction, thousands of dollars of fantastic auction items at this event. For ticket information, contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Linda Kent at 356-3650.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Red Bluff Roundup is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, and wild pony riding, and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and at after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
I'm going up, down, up, back home, home, home.
And Sunday is Haleakala and St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Is the Being Found show, and you can
rest assured, yes it is.
You can rest assured that if you're listening to the show, you're finally going to be found by more buying customers. That is a promise Chauncey Haworth makes.
Totally. And if you don't find that that's true, you can come to my house. My house is located at Joe's house in Tennessee.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I didn't know your address off the top of my head.
Or you would have given it. You totally would have given it.
And I had to beep that thing.
Yeah, we still haven't got Jared to beep us. Maybe it's because we're a business show and we're not supposed to be getting beeped.
It's happened like twice on my other show, but it's been like when he's gone to the bathroom and he's like come back and been all like, what, I missed it, like... If somebody, like, dropped the F-bomb or something.
What? Did you do it, or was it one of your guests?
No, it wasn't me. It was one of my guests.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that happening here.
But he was more upset that he didn't get to push the button than he was.
Yeah, because the button's never been pushed in this radio station's history, which is surprising, knowing Carl Bott, because you would have...
I've heard it pushed. It was pushed. I was listening to some show, and when you push the button... What it does is it says, you're listening to KCNR AM 1460. That's what the button does. Because I've been driving around, as somebody said, you know, the full word of BS.
Yeah.
And they buttoned them.
Okay. All right. So going with our Facebook topic, I wanted to cover something else. So a question I get asked all the time is, what is Facebook Pixel? And... you know, I'll have people ask me, hey, do you put the Pixel on? Do you do the Pixel? What's the Pixel? I don't really think it's a very good name or even a very good description Like I don't feel like Facebook's really good at this branding thing. So, but there was an article I found that did a really good job of describing it. And where was this article? This was, one second here. This article is, what is Facebook Pixel? And it's written by Clifford Chai. Big Red Dog 16 is his call name there. So let me just read this real quick. Facebook Pixel is powerful because it shows you how successful your Facebook advertising campaigns actually are and helps you reach new relevant audiences. And if you want to optimize your Facebook advertising strategy, we recommend taking advantage of it. Facebook Pixel, what this article is going to start to describe is Facebook Pixel is essentially like Google Analytics. And Google Analytics is a way for you to know what users are doing on your website, how they got to your website, and things like that. Well, Facebook Pixel is Facebook's Google Analytics, essentially. And this article goes on to say Facebook Pixel is an analytic tool that measures the effectiveness of your Facebook advertising. By installing it into your website, you can truly gauge your ad's performance because the Pixel can track every visitor's interactions on your website after they click on your ad. I don't know about you, Chauncey, but it's fairly common to see businesses that are boosting posts on Facebook or running ads, but they're not actually looking at the analytics. They're not actually looking at Facebook Pixels. That'll happen a lot with us when we're coming to help a client out and they've been doing Facebook, and we want to know, you know, how's it been going? And we find that they don't really have the tracking in the website. So they do know who's clicking from Facebook or how often people are clicking from Facebook. They don't know what happens once they're on the page.
Right. The Facebook Analytics dashboard is called Insights, Facebook Insights.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just running ads and you're not tracking it on the receiving end, because a lot of it has to do with driving traffic specifically from your Facebook to your website, it'll show you impressions. It'll show you clicks. But it's not showing you conversions or anything like that. It's not showing you what happened once they left Facebook. It'll still tell you everything that happened on Facebook, like if you have a call now button or something like that. But if you're leaving and gaining traffic to your site, once they've left Facebook, your tracking is gone. And the Facebook Pixel, I think in the beginning, I don't know about now, but it literally put a pixel size image on your site that helped to do the tracking. That's why it's called Pixel. And so this will allow you to track those conversions and find out when they got there. Did they fill out the form? Did they click to call? Did they do all of these things? Is my ad working?
Right. And it's not hard to put on. It is a little snippet of code that you put in the site. You know, if you work with your own site at all, you can, or any web developer can do it really quick for you. You can say, just install the Pixel. It's super easy. When I was saying who wrote the article, this is a HubSpot article, so you can see it at the HubSpot blog. I forgot to say that. It goes on to kind of talk about how you do with this, and one of the things that breaks down is optimization. Your Facebook Pixel helps you bid specifically for conversions on Facebook. After collecting enough Facebook lead and customer data, Facebook will only show your ads to users who are most likely to convert or buy something from your website. How nice is that? And again, this is why we're covering Facebook right now, because it is a really incredible tool. And Facebook makes money off ads, so it wants you to be successful. And so as Facebook is figuring out what types of people or how people interact with your site and buy, Facebook's trying harder to get your ad in front of the right person. And this comes down to one of the things that Mark Zuckerberg kept saying is, you know, we're really just trying to get the most relevant content in front of someone. They have to do that with ads even, or boosted posts, because ultimately, will you keep going back to Facebook and using Facebook if you can't stand the Second Amendment and you keep seeing Second Amendment ads, right? Promoting Second Amendment. You're like, I'm done. This isn't what I want to see. So Facebook has a vested interest to help make sure that people want what you're putting in the feed, but also where your content where the clicks are going to on your website. So Facebook helps out.
Facebook ads also has another really sort of interesting little function. And I always turn to my wife when I want to see how consumers use things, because she is very much an internet consumer. And if you don't like ads that Facebook is showing you, you can say, hey, I don't like this, or hey, I was interested in this. And Terry has her ads all set up to the point where really it shows her stuff that she's interested in.
That's horrifying to the checkbook.
And it doesn't show her the stuff that she doesn't, isn't it? Luckily, she's very frugal.
Yeah.
She literally goes to websites and, like, fills up her shopping cart and, like, goes around shopping like she's at a store, and then at the end empties her shopping cart and takes off.
Oh.
She's done.
Yeah,
she
pretty much
enjoys the shopping, but doesn't actually buy.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is weird.
I'm not.
But then, as you know, then she gets a bunch of emails from the company saying, hey, we'll sell this to you at 20% off, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So another one's remarketing. You ever notice that Facebook's, you'll go to a website and you'll see something? Like I said, I'll be looking for shoes, right? And then all of a sudden I'm getting so I'll click on a shoe ad and I'll go to the shoes and I won't buy. Next thing I know, I'm seeing those same Adidas shoes or whoever the shoe store is all over the place on Facebook or whatever. So that's remarketing. That's that stalking effect that you see that this helps out with. Now, another thing it does that, you know, this ability to track what's happening on your website does is, and this is something I don't know that I really take advantage of, but I use tools to take advantage of it, and that's that it can create look-alike audiences. So after around 100 conversions on your site, purchases and clicks and things like that, this can actually start putting an audience together where it'll actually help create other audiences that are likely to convert based on some of the criteria. Because maybe I picked a criteria of an audience that I thought would work, but Facebook noticed there was a subset of that audience that was actually working, and it can help you create that lookalike audience that's actually working, so you kick everybody else out of the boat. So what do you think, Chauncey? I mean, to me, I think this is a pretty valuable tool to be able to get this connection into your website use Facebook Analytics.
I think the same thing that most people think, and that is that I am not so easily influenced, and I don't see a problem with any of this, frankly. Mm-hmm. But everybody thinks they're not so easily influenced,
right.
Yet obviously we all are. So I'm not really sure how I feel about it, but bottom line is I don't think that they're selling our data, and I think that the only data that Facebook has is what I put into it.
Right.
And frankly, maybe I shouldn't have put that in there.
There you go.
If I got a problem with it, you know, I think that it's an awesome tool. It's really quite amazing that we can do this. And I'm not sure what these secrets are that people are so freaked out about telling their friends and family, but they don't want corporations to know. I know, right? Yeah, I don't know. I find it all very confusing that
this
people
is
are so up in arms about this.
I don't know that they are. I almost think that that Congress and everyone's so confused of how this works that it's their confusion of what they think is happening. Like, you know, I don't know. But anyways, we're coming to the end of the show. It is a wonderful time to be a business. It is a wonderful time to be a marketer. The things you can do nowadays are what, you know, 20, 30 years ago marketers wished was possible. So go out there, get found by more customers, more buying customers. Check out Being Found's website to learn more about how you can be found. And thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
At Cypress Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we specialize in personalized service, quality eye care, and competitive prices. Make your appointment today and receive 50% off your frame, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. Cypress Sore Eyes is your locally owned eye care professional. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, offer a military discount, and do your insurance paperwork. See our store for complete details. Cypress Sore Eyes, 722-9992.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. At Houston, St. Martin's Episcopal Church, a number of dignitaries on hand, including former President George H.W. Bush, to attend the funeral for his wife of 73 years, former First Lady Barbara Bush, who passed away this week.
I come to the garden.
Also seated in the church, former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, along with their wives and current First Lady Melania Trump, a number of Bush family members participating in the ceremony, including the Bush granddaughters.
A reading from Proverbs. A capable wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life.
Hundreds of mourners filed through that same church yesterday as the public was allowed to pay their final respects to the former First Lady. Jessica Queener, among those who turned out, she says she's worked in special education for many years now and always admired Barbara Bush's work in literacy and education.
We believe in our work about the importance of equity and equality for children with disabilities.
Hundreds of mourners again filing through the large church yesterday, more than 6,000 in all by the time it was all said and done. Cities and nations looking at banning plastic straws and stir sticks in hopes of addressing the world's plastic pollution problem.
Studies have calculated that nearly 9 million tons of plastic pollution is put in our water, in our oceans every year. 9 million tons. And that's every year. So the straws, even though it's 8 billion straws, overall the straws that are out there are maybe 2,000 tons.
That's science writer Seth Borenstein. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Southwest Airlines is offering an apology and money to the passengers on the plane that made an emergency landing in Philadelphia.
Besides the apology, the letter includes a $5,000 check and $1,000 travel voucher. Southwest Chairman Gary Kelly says in the letter, the money is to help cover immediate financial needs. A passenger on the plane, Jennifer Reardon, was killed, sucked partway out of the jet through a shattered window. Some passengers say they will talk to lawyers. One said he did and will cash the check. Meantime, the Federal Aviation Administration is ordering inspections of more jet engines like the one involved in the Southwest emergency landing. I'm Ed Donahue.
Mitt Romney has one of the best-known names in politics, but still must face down nearly a dozen Utah contenders in his bid to restart his political career. He'll be doing that with the U.S. Senate seat run in the state of Utah. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew. Gunman on jet ski shot at a beach vendor close to a hotel in the famous international vacation resort of Cancun, an outbreak related to the country's ongoing drug war.
Police say the incident happened on a beach along Cancun's hotel zone. As four shots rang out, the vendor dived for cover into a beachfront restaurant, narrowly escaping injury, and then he fled. The spent bullets were found in the sand. There have been 130 murders in Cancun already this year. However, it remains a popular national and international spring break destination and year-round tourism. James Blears, Mexico.
China, North Korea's main ally, is welcoming North Korea's decision to suspend its nuclear and missile testing. The official Xinhua news agency says that Beijing wishes for North Korea to continue to achieve results for its economy and improving the living standards of its people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my other host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
Pretty good.
I know you got a topic you want to discuss. Probably old news to some of the more hardcore paranormal fans out there, but to those who are just getting started, our godfather has passed.
Yeah, that's right. Art Bell, for those of you who don't know who that is, which would be really weird because you're listening to this show, but, you know, maybe right. You just flip the channel and now you're here and you're like, who are these people?
Right.
If that's the case, then Art Bell founded Coast to Coast, which is basically the show that was this show and a zillion other shows before they ever existed. So
right.
Know him, know us, basically.
Yeah. Art Bell... You know, he started out as a newscaster, mm-hmm. and he quickly got sick of being a newscaster and decided that the late-night call-ins were the best, and he went to start a late-night program called Coast to Coast AM that for years during the 90s was the third largest radio show in the country, the first being Rush Limbaugh, the second being, what's his face? Howard Stern.
Okay.
And then Coast to Coast AM was the third largest. And, man, he was living my dream. So the show always said from the Kingdom of Nye. He was in a county in Nevada called Nye County.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pahrump, Nevada is where he was from. And he had this compound that he lived on and he built a studio in. And basically he would sit there and run his show all night long. He'd run the board. Nobody was screening the calls. And he would basically just take calls, and if they got wild, he'd cut them off. And, you know, for years he had he was running like four phone lines at a time.
Right.
And one was dedicated to abductees for years. And then in the latter years and then through Coast to Coast with George Norrie, who took over, mm-hmm. They had their dedicated line to time travelers.
Interesting.
Where they wanted real time travelers to call in.
I'm guessing not a whole lot of call-ins on that line.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I have been a loyal Coast to Coast listener since the 90s.
Unfortunately, I didn't really get into it until we started this show, and I felt I needed to brush up. But I was, of course, well aware of him.
Of his existence, yeah.
Much longer before that, of course.
Yeah. He definitely pioneered a lot of these topics into reality.
Yeah.
One of the articles that I read about him here just recently referred to him as a pioneer of fake news.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess to some extent. I think we should point out, though, that, you know, he was never trying to mislead. He was never trying to be, I don't know, malicious or anything.
Yeah.
Reading about his philosophy of what he was doing, it always strikes me as very admirable and very much what we're kind of trying to do.
He was a healthy skeptic. He was.
Exactly, he was. And he was just, you know, kind of trying to shed a light on sort of the weirder stuff that was going on the cracks of society that people were believing in, and he wanted to bring that out in a...
And being a fan of his, since you know about 93,
mm-hmm.
I definitely saw some evolution in him that I kind of see going on in us.
Sure.
And that is that when we started this show, we were very skeptical, very skeptical.
Yeah.
But then when we have guests on and we get to know them and we talk to them and we start to think, man, this person is not lying to me.
Yeah, it's hard to maintain that.
They might be lying to themselves. They might be. You know, somehow duped or tricked or something like that, but this person is not lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. So each time we have a guest that I feel that way on, you know, I start to think more and more like, oh, God, what's going on out there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very depressing. Very sad for
that
me.
That is very sad.
You know, there are a few people who have died over the years here recently that it was very moving for me that they died, and like to other mm-hmm. people, you know, they're just all like, oh, these great leaders and stuff like that. And I'm just you know, to me, it's you know, Lou Reed was a big one for me.
Yeah.
David Bowie was a big one for me.
Oh, David
Art
Bowie.
Bell is a big one
that
for
hurt.
Me.
Yeah, David
I have
Bowie
to admit,
hurt.
Steve Irwin was a big one for me.
That was a little while ago now.
Yeah, my wife straight up cried when the Crocodile Hunter died.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was.
That was also, like, what, 10 years ago?
I don't know. She had some sort of weird connection. She's cried since. You know, she'll see, like, Bindi Irwin running her show, and she's all, oh, God.
You know, but don't laugh. That's funny.
Well, I try to tell her, I'm all, I think Bindi's moved on. Oh, yeah, maybe you should. Yeah, so anything else exciting happened to you this week?
I'm running a D&D campaign for the Vampire Community message board online.
You know, if you take each of those words and give them to me separately, I know exactly what they mean. But somehow when you put them together in that sentence, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so you know how we had
that's a total lie. I used to play D&D, but...
Yeah, you know how we had a bunch of vampires on the show that one time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was memorable, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to forget. Yeah. So, yeah, the particular message board has been kind of like the unofficial hub for all those guys for a really long time here. So I figured, hey, I'll sign up and do a D&D campaign for them. That's actually not what happened, necessarily, but I did sign up to see what was what, and,
So this is like, what's his name, Damien Nightstalker?
He's not actually on there, but it is a similar sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Similar sort of people.
Right,
really.
Right.
Yeah, so...
And they play D&D online.
Apparently.
So who rolls the dice?
Oh, well, I mean, pretty much all of the D&D games I've played with whoever have been... online. There are dice rollers you can do online where everyone can see the results of the rolls.
Oh.
So you just open one in a tab or something. Mm. Or you just do the honor system and you just report your dice rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that works too, honestly.
Right, right. Huh. That's,
Yeah.
That's...
So that's what's going on with me right now.
Huh.
Hard to get those guys together, though. It's like herding cats.
Well, I mean, I assume this goes on at night.
You would think, but I don't know.
I guess as long as the drapes
are closed. A lot
of
them have day jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's hard to make a function totally nocturnally in society.
Yeah,
sadly.
Yeah. My daughter does pretty well.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's hard to function if you have, like, a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm very stumped by that. That, I don't know. D&D.
It's
was,
interesting. They're nice.
D&D
people.
Was a huge part of my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've always been into things that the world ended up deciding were satanic.
Sure.
But personally, I don't actually believe in Satan. So they
no,
are not
I think that ship has kind of sailed on D&D at this point.
Well, I always thought it was funny that like people are just all D&D satanic. I'm all, have you got to look at these people who are playing this stuff?
Yeah.
In the '80s, when I was playing it, you know, it was not exactly like hide your children, D&D players. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland tonight. Our guest is Debbie Tripp, an abductee and contactee, and also a hypnotherapist. And this is the commercial break. Come on back for Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in the complete Eagles concert production. Join us Friday, May 18th as the Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Life in the Fast Lane. The songs of the Eagles live in the event center. This group's spot-on tribute will have you believing you're hearing the Eagles. They let the images and the songs they perform, no frills, speak for themselves. This is good, simple music, so take it easy as you drive down Life in the Fast Lane past the witchy woman looking into her lying eyes, and purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets for this event are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Life in the Fast Lane, the songs of the Eagles, the ultimate Eagles tribute band experience in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, May 18th. Come and celebrate 25 years at the River. For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Debbie Tripp, an abductee and contactee and hypnotherapist. That's quite a list there, Debbie.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, the first thing that popped to mind for me here is that you're a hypnotherapist that sort of uses that to help other abductees and contactees. So, you know, chicken or the egg, which one came first, being an abductee or being a hypnotherapist?
Well, I was a hypnotherapist prior to my conscious experiences happening, and I don't actually use hypnotherapy with contactees or abductees because I've learned that that's a trigger for me. So it's best for me and for the client that I not use that with them. What I do use with them is EFT, or the tapping technique, emotional freedom technique, and that has been a kind of a safe space for both them and myself. But
so I was a little confused from my notes here. In my notes here, I got a little confused. It said hypnotherapist that practices the emotional freedom technique. So those are two different things. What is the emotional freedom technique?
So emotional freedom technique, or EFT, is also called the tapping technique. And so if you've ever seen videos or heard anything about this, it's where we tap on acupoints while we're discussing issues related to whatever dilemma might be, whether it's a bad habit, or in the case of contactees, it's often fear or anxiety that may be causing issues in their life where, you know, they're just having trouble functioning or sleeping. And so what's nice is we can do that over Skype, and we will kind of talk for a while at the beginning of the session. And I'm taking notes through the whole session, and I try to use their words back at them when we actually start tapping through the acupoints. And so this was discovered by accident around 1980, this particular technique. And it's worked wonderfully with Vietnam vets that are suffering from post-traumatic stress. And so, as you know, a lot of contactees also suffer from this. And it just can kind of, what it does is it regulates that negative emotion that you're feeling.
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with this a little bit. I kind of know it as something that I've learned about off to the side of something called EMDR, I think it's called.
Okay, EMDR is different. And EMDR is only used by doctors and, I believe, social workers. And it's working a little bit more neurologically, where EFT is working more emotionally with that energy system.
And I always felt like the tapping was sort of like allowing people to sort of process and refile their experience. Is that maybe a good way to put it?
Yeah, and that's my understanding, too. That sounds about right. and the other thing, and I'm not sure about this with EMDR, but I know that with my own experiences, one thing that really kind of helped me to make sense of them was studying shamanic journeying. And so I studied that for a year. And whenever you see a shaman or anybody doing journeying work, you're doing that to a drum beat that is about 4.5 beats per second. So that it gets you into that theta brainwave state, which is where the mystical can happen.
Can you explain to our audience a little bit what shamanic...
I know that's with that beat as well. I know the Silva method also uses like a metronome in the background. So I think there's definitely something to that particular beat or frequency.
Can you explain to our audience a little bit what shamanic journeying is?
Sure. Probably everybody has heard of meditation, and the shamanic journeying is different than meditation, and I really am not good at explaining that well. But what I can tell you is that with journeying, people that do this particular practice see the world we live in as ordinary reality, and when you are journeying, you're actually going into non-ordinary reality. And in that non-ordinary reality, there's three typical realms that you can journey to, and those are the middle, lower, and upper realms. And so in your lower realms, you have, you know, a lot of earthy, you know, moist kind of, if you could just kind of picture that atmosphere. And the upper realms would be more like, you know, heavenly, or your crystal cities, or even space. And then your middle realms would be more like our everyday world here, where you can communicate with the elementals, like earth, air, fire, and water spirits. So you're going in there as a spiritual journey to commune with your guardian or helping spirits, and those can be humans, plants, animals, even rocks. So, you know, everybody experiences something different there. And so for me, it just, I don't know, it was like the closest I could come to what you experience when you're having a contact kind of experience.
So there seems to be a lot of crossover in the ET and sort of abductee community with this mysticism and spirituality, which sort of leads us. So when we're talking about aliens, are we talking about existing in our plane, or are we talking about something on a mystic and spiritual level, or are we talking about everything in between?
Well, I think we're probably talking on a more of a quantum physicist kind of level, where, you know, there's so many densities and dimensions that we don't see. And, you know, a perfect example of that is the X-ray, you know, like that we can, you know, shoot these X-rays at our body and see these bones that we can't see with our naked eye. With sound, you know, how animals can hear higher pitched things than we can. You know, we can't see just certain parts of the spectrum or hear certain parts of the spectrum, which are actually the same thing. So aside from the theory of nuts and bolts, aliens and UFOs, which there may be, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think my best answer is we don't know. You do have, you know, every day quantum physics are finding all these different theories and things that are possible in these places and that we can't see. You know, they say like when someone dies that really they're right there, like they're right there in front of you in a different realm and we just can't see them. And so you'll see a lot of similarities, you know, with folks that have experienced ET contact as well as near death, you know, the near death or angels or a host of other paranormal things. So I just think it's different dimensions and densities, and could that be in our realm? Maybe, but maybe it's just on the other side of it, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it makes as much sense as we're all capable of wrapping our brain around, you know.
It's right. Like,
but I do see where you're coming from, and you're right. It seems like over the years that science has become more and more in touch with possible spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this theory that eventually science and religion won't exist, and there'll just be one topic in school called The Way Things Are, because science and religion has really kind of been going at the same idea, trying to figure out the way things are, and eventually we'll know the way things are.
Yep.
And then
Sean
made a good point on one of our last shows that the ability to travel the speed of light and go from planet to planet and stuff like that basically means that you're capable of time travel and possibly interdimensional travel and all these other things as well that come hand in hand with the ability to travel at those speeds.
Sure. Right.
So we might not be able to put that in the nuts and bolts box, like you're saying.
Well, most of the mass in the universe is unaccounted for. Terms
right.
of we can't observe it. So, I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying in terms of there's a jillion things we don't understand and can't understand.
Yeah, and then the universe is a big place. So even if you're talking, you know, from point A to point B, you know, I always think, gosh, you know, if we really think we're it, you know, that's a sorry kind of thing. For a lot of folks, I mean, it's just hopefully there's, you know, just like there's good and bad humans, you know, there may be good and bad other life forms out there that we just don't know because we can't reach them.
I'm what I refer to as a healthy skeptic, but the one thing that I am absolutely positive of is there is no way that we're the only life in the universe.
Right.
You know, it's just...
be a lot of wasted space, for one thing.
It would be.
That's true.
All right. So we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to Debbie Tripp, and we are talking about abductees and contactees. And I'd like, when we come back from our break, to talk to you a little bit about your contactee experience.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, you're listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
Magical journey, take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation. 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I receive more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today, or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Debbie Tripp. Debbie, you know, in your explanation of the situation, I'm very curious what being in a contactee makes sense, but an abductee in this situation really kind of is a little bit mind-blowing to me. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience?
Sure, and, you know, I always kind of differentiate between abductee and contactee in a literal sense of the word, meaning, you know, when we think of like a child being abducted, we think of them being taken away. So for people that have had experiences where they feel they have been taken away and have been on a ship, that to me is more of an abduction.
Yeah.
Whereas a contactee, I look at that more as a visitation where you're kind of still in your place and they come to you, but you're not necessarily taken anywhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But in this sort of like spiritual understanding of what these beings and this situation is, being an abductee is the mind blowing part. So, you know, when you're taken, it's
true.
Like, where are you taken to? It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my first conscious experience, and I say first conscious experience because, you know, after this started happening, I talked with my parents and kind of went over things from my childhood. And, you know, I do think this has been going on probably my whole life. It's just either I was not clearly aware or whatever it was, you know, you're just so in the groove, you just don't realize that it's different than what other people are experiencing. So this was, you know, more of a conscious experience. And it was in November of 2011. And I had just come back from a sleep study because I had been having a lot of insomnia. So my doctor sent me for a sleep study. And I came home around 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was kind of awake at that point. And I didn't go back to bed till around 7 in the morning. And so when that happened, I dreamt, or what I chalked up to a dream, was your typical kind of abduction scenario. And it sounds really cliche, but in it, I was suddenly looking up at the bottom of a ship, and I felt like there were people on each side of me looking up. And the next thing I knew, a beam of light came down.
I'm sorry, when you say people, you mean like other abductees, not aliens?
Possibly, and I don't know. You know, I'm assuming they were other humans that were in the same situation.
Okay.
I don't know because I didn't see them. I kind of just felt them. And so when that beam of light hit, I felt this incredible suction. And I had several tornado dreams in the past. And I'd probably get them about once or twice a year, and I could feel that suction. It was the exact same kind of feeling, and it made me wonder later if those tornado dreams were more of a screen memory for what was actually happening. And so when that suction action started, I felt like I was just fighting it, like really resisting. And I just kind of pictured my arms and legs just really kind of going to resist that suction. And as that started to happen, I heard a male voice say, "Now, Debbie, just relax. You know we need to do this." And as soon as I heard that, I kind of gave in and relaxed, and I thought, well, here we go again. And I felt like I had done it 100 times before. So it became very familiar in that moment, and then everything went black. So I wake up, you know, from this supposed dream, And I am very panicked. And one thing they discovered in my sleep study is I'm not really getting into that REM dream state, which is where you actually have your dreams. So I've never been one that really remembers a lot of dreams or has nightmares. So this really shook me, and I found it very unusual. And I called my husband in a panic because he wasn't home. He was taking our daughter to school, and I said, you've got to get home as soon as possible because I just had this terrible dream. And he came home and kind of comforted me, and, you know, I just chalked it all up to a dream. Now, when I woke up, I had a sty in my left eye, and a few days later, I started getting a rash, like on the right side of my neck, that turned into this terrible case of tonsillitis. And the doctors first thought it was strep and the flu, and I was testing negative for all that. So they said, well, you know, we think it's just tonsillitis. And it was terrible. And I was so, so sick. I hadn't been that sick since I was a child. And my husband was really worried because I was just kind of catatonic in the bed for days. So a couple weeks later, when I was better, I was telling my parents about this dream, and they live right around the corner from where we lived. And my mother, and they're in their late 80s, so at the time they were in their mid 80s. My mother said, you know, your father saw something in the sky during those couple of weeks. It was like three separate sightings when he was walking the dog around 9 o'clock at night. And my mother cannot walk well, so the first time he saw this thing, he went inside and made her get up and get outside to look at this. And she drew it for me, and it looked like three interlocking rings. So if you can picture, like, you know, like the Olympic rings, but only three of those. Mm-hmm. And she said they were just like these golden glowing rings, and she could see the sky through them. So they both saw that. He saw that twice. The third time he saw something, he went into my mother and he said, I don't know what I just saw, and I don't want to talk about it. So we don't know. We don't know what that was. Hmm. But they, you know, they'll talk about this.
That's like the most interesting part, and he's hiding it. Oh, that's terrifying. So, you know, this has happened to you multiple times, and anytime we're talking to somebody about aliens, mm-hmm. I always want to know, and I realize here we're using the term loosely, you know, transdimensional, intergalactic. We're not really sure. What is the intent? Why did they take you?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I've been in, you know, a couple of online support groups, which was a godsend at the time. And Misha Johnston's group was wonderful. And we'd always discuss these theories of why, you know, there's, you know, the theory of, is it, you know, for genetics? Is it that they're trying to repopulate their race? Is it that they are us from the future and they're coming to save us from ourselves?
I don't necessarily mean from the 50,000 foot view. I just mean, like, when they took you, mm-hmm. You know, what'd they do to you? Do they show you things? You don't remember any of that?
I don't remember any of that because everything went black after that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience about a year and a half ago where, and this was more in a dream state also, where I was in a ship and it was like a classroom. And it was supposed to be a classroom talk about angels, and the woman, I'm sorry, it was about ETs and the teacher who appeared as a woman named Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and I don't know if you're familiar with her. She is deceased, and she had a kind of a new age spiritual movement years ago, but it was her. And she said, I'm sorry, I cannot concentrate to tell you about these ETs because there are these angels everywhere. And all of a sudden there were these explosions of blue and you could see these angels, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I remember crying and being awestruck by these angels. So that was my only experience that I'm aware of that I felt that I was actually on a ship in a classroom. And again, that could it may not have been a nuts and bolts kind of ship. It just might have been some portal into a different density or dimension.
Might be being shown what you're comfortable with seeing.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, I don't know. There are people that do remember a lot of what happened on the ship. In my experiences, the one that happened 2 months after that November incident was more physical, and it was more of a visitation than being taken away anywhere. So that was the experience that made me just have that shock and awe of, oh my goodness, you know, what is really happening here? And with that experience, I had been in bed reading.
Well, let me cut you off there. We're coming up on our last commercial break of the interview here. I'll let you tell me that story when we get back.
Alrighty.
You're listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belaji. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, Wade Riggs with DJ Bobette. We are back for our sixth annual Cool April Nights Cool Cruise 2018.
Live from the Red Lion Hotel in Redding, California, and featuring awesome classic cars and tricked out vehicles.
You'll have the best seats in the house with our multi-camera system featuring our wireless HD street cam to put you in the cruise.
Broadcasting live on Shasta County Community Access Television, SCAC-TV, and on KGEC-TV, Channel 26.
You can also watch the cruise on your computer, tablet, or smart device online. Online here at KCNR1460.com.
However you catch it, you won't want to miss the Cool Cruise. So join us along with special guests on Friday, April 27th.
Webcast kicks off at 4 p.m. with DJ Bobette playing your favorite cruise tunes.
With the cruise starting at 6:30.
Cool Cruise 2018, Friday, April 27th. Sponsored by Palomar Builders, Orchard Nutrition Center, Mary's Pizza Shack, and KCNR 1460.
For more information, visit RiggsMediaConsulting.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna...
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Debbie Tripp. Debbie, you were telling us about a visitation experience before we went to break.
Yes. So this was about 2 months after that dream experience. And it was around, I would say, 3:30 in the morning. I used to go to bed around 10, and then I'd get up around 3 or 3:30 and read a little bit and then go back to sleep.
Sound like my
so
wife.
I had just finished reading around 3:30, and I was shutting off my book light and putting my book away and, you know, getting snuggled into the covers. And I started hearing noises in the house, and I heard what first sounded like somebody shutting, like, a cabinet door in the kitchen. And then I heard what sounded like a noise in our living room, and I went to wake my husband up to tell him to go check it out, you know, like you would normally do if, when something like that happens. And when I went to speak, I could not move at all. And I heard this roaring hum in my right ear, and the whole room just kind of flooded with this blue light. And I could hear, like, the shuffling of little feet, like several little kids, if you could picture that sound, like kind of running around the bedroom. And my eyeballs were able to move, which you'll hear that a lot, too, that in sleep paralysis where, you know, you can't move anything except your eyeballs. And so I looked over to my husband's side of the bed, and that is where I saw what looked like your typical gray alien, except that this one was glowing blue. It was like an electric cobalt kind of blue, and I could only see it from the chest up. And in that moment, I just thought, oh, my goodness, what happened in November wasn't a dream. And then all of a sudden, everything went black. So I feel like I get to these states where everything just kind of goes black, which, you know, they may do for, you know, your own benefit as well as their own benefit. I don't know. But I woke up, and it was probably about an hour later. And so when I came to, I immediately went to tell my husband, you know, about what happened. And I felt like I was drugged. And it was, you know, that feeling, I always describe it to people as that feeling of when you've come out of anesthesia, if you've ever had any kind of surgery, where you're, you know, you're kind of rubbery, you can't really form your words very well. And he, who usually will wake right up if I need something, was the same way. He could not, we couldn't, neither of us could get a sentence out. And we both fell asleep and didn't wake up till a few hours later. And you would just think that after something like that, which was harrowing, I mean, I really thought I was going to die. Like, it felt like this is it. That you would be up and not able to sleep at all.
Yeah.
So the next day was a completely different story, because I had what we call in the South as a complete come apart. Now, at the time, my husband and I, we'd been married about 11 years, and he knows me as a fairly stable, you know, not super emotional kind of person. And I just started crying and shaking and tried to explain what had happened the night before. And I felt like a crazy person. I felt like, you know, when I heard myself speaking the words, I thought, I have lost my mind. And I knew I needed to talk to somebody about it. And I honestly did not know where to turn, because, you know, my first logical thought was, I need to see a psychotherapist to process this. And then I thought, they're going to give me the crazy stamp, and I'm going to end up in the funny farm. And you really start to have these thoughts of, oh, my goodness, is my husband going to leave me? Am I going to lose my family? Am I crazy? And then there's the flip side of that with, you know, well, if I was crazy, maybe that's fixable. Because, you know, if this is really happening, I remember telling my husband that I felt hopeless and helpless, and that even if I died, I didn't feel like I could escape whatever that was. So it was a really rough time. I eventually was able to get in touch with, my first person I had reached out to, I got on the internet, and of course, I don't know anything about this field, okay? So I always considered myself a very spiritually open person, and this stretched me, because I obviously wasn't that as open-minded as I thought I was. And, you know, I always tell people if we were talking about ghosts or angels, it fits that paradigm that we've all been brought up with, you know. But aliens, you know, and UFOs, you know, not so much. It's just the stuff of science fiction.
That's funny because on a science level, you know, you'd think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, I think we'd be the exact opposite probably.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but you're right. You're totally right about that. Yeah. And so does your husband think you're crazy or has he got your back now?
No. He has always had my back. Thank goodness. I mean, he has been such a blessing. And in my daughter, too, she's now almost 15. So she was around 7 or 8 when this started happening. And, you know, between then and now, there's been, a lot of experiences. She has had some experiences. Mm. My husband has woken up with, the 3-fingerprint kind of bruise pattern on his shoulders or his hips.
You guys have been marked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's... So, he knows me, and so he knew that was unusual. There was a lot of synchronistic, what I call prep work, that happened in the couple of years leading up to that November incident, which would be a whole other show. But, you know, one of those things was seeing number patterns, like 1111 and 333, and, patterns that I had never seen before in my life. And you'll hear that with a lot of experiencers now. And people will say, well, what is that? And I kind of think they might be some kind of a code that, maybe every time we see those numbers, something's, happening in our consciousness, and that when we're ready, maybe a switch is going to flip and we'll all know what to do with all those codes. I don't know. That's one thing you'll hear that's a commonality with folks.
Sorry to interrupt you here. We don't have that much time left, but I really wanted to get this out. How common do you think these kinds of things are? Because there's probably a lot of people who don't know how to make sense of this or just think they're crazy, like you said, or that kind of thing. So how common do you think it is that people have been visited by these?
Well, I mean, from what I hear, if you do the math, they say millions of folks are experiencing this kind of thing. And for all we know, it could be happening to everybody on some level. You know, if we are some kind of, seeded planet and they're just keeping tabs on us. Because one thing I'll always say, too, is I always feel like they're just giving me a checkup. When I have those experiences, at the point I blank out, I think, if it was a nuts and bolts kind of doctor, they might be checking my vitals or something in my energy system or, they're just kind of keeping tabs. So I don't know. I do think it's probably happening to more people than realize it. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we actually have a support group here and have had it for many years. And now, as the years go by, more and more people will come out and say something, or, I'll be talking to somebody and they'll say, hey, I saw your website and I kind of had this experience. And people are feeling a little more comfortable coming out at least to each other, maybe not publicly on a public scale, but to each other. And I think that's important that they're doing that. And I do think the more voices that are heard, maybe people will get some kind of understanding from that.
Well, that's good. Good timing for us. We're here at the end of the show, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you.
Sure. Well, my website is debbytripp.com. It's spelled D-E-B-I dot, I'm sorry, debbytripp, T-R-I-P-P, all together, .com. My email is on there, which is debbie.tripp@yahoo.com. On Facebook, my personal page is debbytripp1111, and I have the Experiencers Journal page, which is a free download for people wanting to have help with journaling their experiences. And we have the Sound Symbols and Star Writing group also on Facebook for people that are channeling sounds or writing things that aren't so much the norm. So that's been a great group, too. So you can reach me through any of those venues.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland. That's DebiTripp.com. Go ahead and check her out. Thanks for listening.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.